For many years, Esma Beth Clark was the organist at University Presbyterian Church in Austin. Everybody loved Esma Beth. Often the choir members were invited to her lovely home overlooking the Colorado River for parties. And Esma Beth and her husband Jimmy were the model of Christian hospitality and graciousness. At the end of every party, Esma Beth would gather the choir around her baby grand piano. We would sing spirit and show tunes and Beatles songs. She loved the Beatles. These were church choir parties at their very finest. Then, one early spring morning, Esma Beth called me, frantically insisting that I come to her house. She didn't say why, just come immediately. I hurried over, thinking maybe her husband Jimmy had a heart attack. But when I turned into the streets, it became all too apparent what had happened. There were fire trucks, ambulances, and police cars, and neighbors milling out in the street. The Clark's house had burned to the ground. All that was left standing was the fireplace. So I raced up to Esma Beth and Jimmy, and I hugged them, and we all cried. Once the fire was extinguished, the firefighters let us sift through the muddy ashes. If you've ever done that, it is an odd experience. We found a few salvageable items, a silver fork, a leather shoe, and a half-burned picture of her grandchildren. Then I saw Esma Beth lean over and pick up something and begin to cry. She had found the metal foot pedals of her baby grand piano. That was all that was left of her beloved piano. It was such a small thing, those pedals, but they meant so much to Esma Beth, a small token of what was. The prophet Zechariah, a contemporary of the prophet Haggai, would have called it, quote, a time of small things. 500 years before Jesus, Zechariah and Haggai faced a pile of rubble that once was Solomon's temple. Almost 70 years had passed since the Babylonians had razed it to the ground. Now, Zechariah and Haggai returned from Babylonian captivity to see the wreckage that once was the glory. It was like seeing an old friend's house burned to the ground, but much worse. The house of prayer for all people was just ashes and stone. Zechariah would call that a day of small things. So for almost 20 years, those who had returned from exile had labored to rebuild their lives. The Persian overlords had given them permission to return and even to rebuild the temple. And the first wave of Jewish settlers had tried, but eventually they had just lost steam for a number of reasons. So they turned their attention to their own homes and their own livelihoods. Everybody was scratching out a living as best they could. Almost two decades of preliminary work resulted in just a quarry of rocks, but not a temple. That's when the word of the Lord came to Haggai. In fact, God spoke to Haggai five times from August to December of the year 520 BCE. Not a call to arms, but a call to reconstruct the house of the Lord. Now, Haggai points to what is happening to the people since they neglected the temple. A severe drought had settled over the land. It was a judgment on their inaction and neglect. And Haggai highlights the results of this self-seeking lifestyle. Listen to it. You have looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house lies in ruins while all of you hurry off to your own houses. Self-interest had brought little results. Haggai insists that the common good comes before one's own personal objectives. As important as their homes were to the people, even more so was the temple to the Lord. For Haggai, the temple represents the great unifier of the community. Perhaps the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City or the Vatican in Rome occupy such a central place in our world today. But for Haggai, The temple is what breathes life into the community. It provides the spiritual center and focus of the entire nation. Why? Because the Lord promises to be there in the temple. The Lord's name dwells mysteriously in that holy of holies and summons Israel to worship and serve. So God promises this. My spirit abides with you in the temple. Now, of course, the heavens cannot contain the glory of God, and neither can a temple. But God chose to be present in the temple, to be worshiped and adored. And that, Haggai feels, was the greatest good that Israel could imagine. God's holy presence. And that's why for Haggai, the temple must be completed. No more delays, no more excuses, no more neglect. Haggai even assures the skeptical people that God will provide whatever resources are needed to rebuild the temple. He makes an incredible claim. I will shake the nations so that the treasure of all the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor. A pile of rubble will return to its former glory. The latter splendor of the house shall be greater than the former. In effect, Haggai says to the people, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, if you're wondering if this promise was too good to be true, then you would be amazed at the people's response. They bought what Haggai was saying and immediately put their shoulders to the wheel. They began this massive work, like one of those community barn raisings in frontier America. And for the next 5 years, the people worked side by side and finally finished rebuilding the temple. From rubble and ashes to beauty and splendor, lo, a house of prayer for all nations was built. Amazing. One can almost argue that Haggai was the most successful prophet of all time. The people heard and obeyed and ultimately finished this massive task. What a marvel. We should put Haggai in the prophetic hall of fame. Now, you may have noticed that the last 3 years, this congregation has worked together to refurbish our building. And as Denise mentioned, by the grace of God and your generosity, almost $500,000 has been given to this task. That is about double your church's annual budget. And that, my friends, is simply magnificent. In fact, this would be a good time for you to offer applause to a gracious God and for your generous response. So go ahead, give God a hand and your response. Hallelujah. So thankfully, I do not have to stand up here like Haggai and scold you for your inattention. Oh no, that's not what we are about today. Today is a celebration of the goodness of God and the way you have responded in faith, hope, and love. With generous hearts and caring souls, something lovely has emerged from your efforts. Now, you did not start from scratch, rubble and rock, as did the people of Israel. And I suppose the closest you came to that would have been your parking lot. Deep ravines and all that, you know. Remember those? What you had was an aging building that needed some tender, loving care. And now our stucco needs some loving care, but that's for another day. Today is for celebration. Today we give thanks and we remember and rejoice. Now maybe, just maybe, your Haggai was Pastor Kathy getting the ball rolling. But you, the congregation, kept the ball rolling with your love and your effort and your generosity. And hasn't it been a lovely journey? A tale to be told to your new pastor again and again. And the short form of this story goes like this. We saw a need. We came together. We asked God's blessings. We gave generously. We worked side by side. And here we are. Thanks be to God. That's a great story. Something to celebrate as long as this congregation. Now, can I tell you the rest of the story of Esma Beth Clark? Remember her sifting through the rubble and finding the metal foot pedals from her burned out piano? Well, she kept those pedals, something that she held on to and would not let. She had few, if any, pictures of her children or her family. No mementos. They had all burned. But she did have those metal foot pedals of her piano. Well, soon thereafter, the choir of University Presbyterian Church heard that the insurance would only cover part of the replacement cost for the baby Graham. So they decided to put their shoulders to the wheel so that the rubble and the ashes would not have the last word. And unbeknownst to Esma Beth, they began raising money. There were donations and bake sales, raffles, car washes, even a concert. Sound familiar? And finally, all the resources came together. And so, during the offertory, one glorious Sunday morning, the double-wide doors leading into the sanctuary were open. And to everyone's absolute and Esma Beth's utter astonishment, a baby grand was wheeled in. And on top of that piano, someone had placed the metal. Coming out from behind the organ console, Esma Beth, with a smile as big as Texas, sat down, and the first song played on that piano was the doxology. And the congregation rose to sing with great joy, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Christ, all people here. Praise Holy Spirit evermore. Praise triune God." Sisters and brothers, there is something magical when we put our shoulders and trust God, from whom all thanks be to God.